Well, it's good to be back with you this morning. I really appreciate all the comments afterwards. Thank you for your support in that. Thank you for the opportunity to come and be with you. And I'm always excited about the opportunity to get to preach. You know, it's so funny in life how things happen in your life and how sometimes the direction and your path and everything goes. Many of you, you don't know, but the very first sermon I ever preached was in the summer of 1999 at Silver Street Church of Christ down the road. I was their summer preacher for that summer. I actually lived across the street with the Holders, and I lived there for 3 or 4 months. Never thought I'd ever preach here. Had no idea that I'd eventually fall in love with a beautiful girl from here, and would eventually marry her 4 or 5 years later. At the time, we weren't dating. We didn't even hardly know each other that well. So it's interesting to me how much this area has meant to me and what it's brought to my life. So many great things to be there. So anyway, good to be with you again tonight, and good to be with you to bring another lesson to you. You know, being prepared is so very, very important, no matter what it is. You know, I jokingly think back to college. Rarely was I ever prepared for anything in college. I kind of did the fly by the seat of your pants approach, and it got me through. I would have liked to have one time taken a test and going, hey, I made 100 on that. Instead of walking away going, man, I just hope I passed. You think I got enough right to get through on that? So as we know, being prepared is very, very important. You know, Luke 14, 27 through 29 reminds me of this. And this is kind of a personal verse when I think about it, because sometimes I start building and I just start building. I don't even think about what it's going to take or the cost or the work. But here he says, whoever does not carry his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who are watching will again begin to ridicule him. You know, whatever it is we do in life, we need to be prepared. We need to know what it's going to take in order to accomplish whatever goal that we have. And we see here for this year, you guys have a goal laid out for each month around mindful preparation, teaching, and worship, and hospitality, preaching, good works, edification, love, sanctification, benevolence, thanksgiving, and prayer. But one of the most important things that we've got to do is you have to be prepared before you can help anyone. You know, anytime you get on a plane, you know, we can all joke about what they do. I always thought it was kind of odd that they say, please put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about anybody else around you. Because if you're dead, you can't help anybody else. So you've got to make sure that you're prepared, that you're breathing, that you have oxygen. And then when you are ready, then you're able to go and do all of these great things. You know, if you don't know anything about the Word of God, it's going to be difficult for you to teach. If you're struggling in worship, it's going to be hard for you to do that. And so forth and so on. So as we begin to think about this month about being prepared, it is important that each of us are working on that, having that mindful preparation that we've got ourselves prepared. This is a kind of a funny picture here. And as you can tell, a couple things here is going on. They either don't have their heat on or they have their heat on and they don't have any insulation. Now, you know the theme of the sermon, the title, so we're going to go with the insulation here. All their heat's going out, but they look cold. Anybody ever done that before? I don't know how many people grew up here. Having a house at 72 degrees or 71 or 69, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 has become a norm. When I was growing up, though, we had one wood heater in the wintertime. It sat in the middle of the house. You put logs in it at night before you went to bed, and you knew at 7 o'clock in the morning it was going to be 45 degrees all through the house, unless somebody got up in the middle of the night and put logs in. So you'd have to wait and then get heat back in it. And of course, you'd be freezing until Dad got a fire built or someone got a fire built. And then, you know, by the time it was time to go to school, the house was warm then. And that was kind of a regular routine. But we see here, maybe whatever it is, they aren't prepared, but they need to insulate. They need some insulation. And I lived in houses that didn't have a whole lot, and maybe it didn't have in the ceiling or had anywhere. But the more insulation you got,
the easier it is to heat and keep your house warm. And so, how is your insulation? We're talking about being prepared. How is your insulation? How is it around you? What value or R value we talk about in the building world of insulation would you have to protect you or to be around you right now? You see, insulation does a couple things. When I was a kid, I only thought it was for heating. Well, actually, insulation is for cooling too. You see, insulation keeps hot air out and keeps your cold AC in. But in the wintertime, it keeps the cold air out and keeps your hot air in. So insulation can work both ways. And you see those mugs you get now. It says it'll keep your drink hot for 17 hours and your drink cold for 26 hours. You're like, how can it keep it hot and cold? Well, it functions the same way. It's keeping out and keeping in. It is insulating. It is keeping those elements from outside from changing the element on the inside. I want you to keep that in your mind. Insulation keeps the elements from the outside changing the elements on the inside. And that's how that works. And if you have little insulation, the outside elements can change things very fast. You know, you get a cup, it didn't have any insulation. When those cheap plastic ones, you know, they give you at McDonald's now, they don't give you Styrofoam ones. Those little cheap plastic ones, you know, you set it outside in the summer, put a little ice in there, and it's melted very, very quickly. Versus having one that is not. And if we'd had been a little more prepared tonight, I could have done a little science experiment for you on this. But anyway, that'd be for another time to show this. How can God's word insulate you in keeping you prepared? Well, here it can do. God's word can protect you. God gives you all kinds of ways to protect you, and so it can keep sin out and keep you righteous on the inside. And that's kind of where our lesson is going to go tonight. How can God's word do that? How can we be insulated in our lives? Philippians 4, verses 7 through 9. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These things you have learned and received and heard and seen, and the God of peace will be with you." How do we keep ourselves pure? How do we keep our minds and our hearts right? Dwelling on these things. Dwelling on these things. Keeping these things within us. Keeping all of these things to think about. That way we can stay pure on the inside. So a couple questions we'll look at. Do you send your children out in the cold without a coat? Who in here does that? Who in here did that? Now, how many times did you see your child go out in the cold, which I am now experiencing, and you're saying, "What are you doing? Oh, it's not cold to me." Well, you know it's cold to them. And maybe it's not cold to them. But we all know one thing. If they're out there very long without that coat on, what are we going to have to be dealing with that night? "I'm sick. I don't feel good." You know, if it's not that night, it'll be the next night. And so we know having a coat on and sending our kids out with a coat is very, very important. We want to protect those children. We want to have a coat on them. We want to make sure they've got socks and things on their head and earmuffs and gloves. We've been watching the Cosby Show, and there was one Cosby episode in the winter where Rudy came in, if you remember it. It's one of the very first seasons. You can't even see who Rudy is. He was joking how he didn't know who she was because she had so many clothes on. And if you recall, he said, "Okay, I'm putting all these clothes on you, but do you need to go to the bathroom?" And she's like, "No, I don't need to go to the bathroom." And so he puts all the clothes on her, and then sure enough, as soon as she gets them all on, she has to go. But we do that to protect our children. We want them insulated. We want to insulate them from the cold outside. And that is so, so important. We have to insulate our children from the world the same way. We put so much effort in keeping them warm, but how much effort do we keep them protecting them from all the other things in the world? All the other things they see and they hear and they read and they listen to on the radio and they watch on TV, all the things that are coming after our children. What are we doing to protect them from that? What are we doing to insulate the children from all the aspects of the world and the things that are coming? Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver are full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. And so we see what a blessing it is to have children, what a blessing it is to have these and protect them and have them in our lives. And we see here, fathers, Ephesians 6:4, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up with up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so, fathers, we are instructed on how to bring these kids up and how to bring them up and teach them God's Word. So it's so important that we insulate our children and that we take care of them in our life. Here's another question. Do you keep your front and back doors wide open? I don't know, maybe in Borden. Maybe we still do that in Borden. We don't do that in Bowling Green. We don't do it in Borden now. I know we don't do it in Clarksville and New Albany. We tend to don't do it anywhere anymore. I think the Amish out in Auburn, I think they still keep their doors open, or at least unlocked. Why? Why do we not do that? Why do we not just say, hey, world, come on in, take what you want, watch what you want, do what you want? Well, obviously, we don't want our stuff stolen. We don't want it taken. We don't want stuff, people going through our private stuff. And you can't trust anybody. That's why we don't do it. We don't keep our doors unlocked because we don't do it. You know, if you're watching the Andy Griffith Show, you keep your doors unlocked because somebody down the road might want to borrow a cup of sugar. They just came in, got a cup of sugar, told you later, or brought you another cup later. People trusted people. They were doing that. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we just don't live in Mayberry, and we don't live there in 1942. So it's just not the world that we live in anymore. We have to insulate our homes, not just shutting our front doors and locking our front doors, but we've got to insulate our homes from the TV and internet. You see, with TV and internet, we're leaving our front doors wide open. We're telling the world, you come on in. Bring anything you want to in. We're leaving the back doors and all the windows in our house open. With a click on our Roku or an Amazon Fire or Apple TV or even your basic cable, Netflix, whatever. You can watch and pull in the most worldly things you could ever imagine, and you're bringing it into your home. You're not only bringing it to your home, you're bringing it to your children, you're bringing it into everybody. You don't think that influences people? You don't think that does that? The computer. Now, my dad called the computer the www dot something. You know, he didn't know how to turn one on, much less anything, but he watched all the commercials, and it was always go to www dot something. And he was like, well, just type on that www dot and take me wherever, you know, and take me to whatever you want me to take me to. The point is that any address, you can go and pull in anything. You can bring anything into your home. You know, we go through all this of putting security cameras around our house. We put deadbolts and locks. We buy special doors to locks. We put kick plates at the bottom of our doors to lock. We do all of these things to secure our home. And then our TVs and internets are wide open. And we're letting anything and everything stream into our homes. And we're saying, well, that's not going to influence me. You know what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says? Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. How much company are you spending? How much time are you spending with your good friend, Amazon Fire? How much time are you spending, you know, on your good friend iPad? I don't do social media. Glad I don't. I was glad I didn't 10 years ago. I thought it was bad 10 years ago. I think social media now is 100 times worse than it was 10 years ago. How much time are we spending on our Facebook or these different apps where it's, I don't even know what's going on there anymore. Who knows? Bad company corrupts good morals. And that's bad company. And there's a lot of bad company. Now, I'm not going to be one up here and say there's not good. There's all kinds of good with the internet. There's all kinds of good and decent things you can do. I'm not going to say it's all. But, you know, we invite people over to our house too. Not all people do we try to prevent. But we need it in our lives. We need to insulate ourselves and watch out what we let in. Not just let anything in. Not just leave our doors open and let everything in our lives. Here's the next one. This is one that is becoming a more of an issue. I didn't realize it. Maybe I'm just getting older and seeing it. But do we stop working on our marriages as soon as we get married? Do we just say, oh, well, I'm married, now I'm done? You know, down in Bowling Green, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of Christians in the past year. I've seen a lot of Christians in the past 2 or 3 years. I've seen a lot of affairs and divorces and breakups. You know, usually about that 5 to 7 year mark for some reason. That's not the only time frame. I'm seeing a lot of 10 and 15 years. You know, what are we doing? And we're talking about affairs. We're talking about maybe it's a video game addiction. Maybe it's a porn addiction. Maybe, you know, all these different things are coming in and are hurting these marriages. Do we stop working on our marriages? Do we just say, I'm done. I'm married. I'm over this. Are we insulating them? Why wouldn't we be doing that? Because the minute that we stop doing that is the minute that we're going to open up and do that. We have to insulate our marriages. We got to do things to protect that most solemn relationship that God has laid out. Insulating our marriages, working on those marriages, growing those marriages, continue year after year after year after year. You know, I haven't been married as long as many in this room has. But I'm knocking on 17 years this year. And I can tell you, I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. I can tell you that I love my wife more now than I ever did 17 years ago. I thought I liked her a lot then. I thought I loved her. But as you grow and you're together and you have experiences, there's so many great things you can do. And there's lots of changes, lots of things you learn and lots of ways you adapt, and you can make it such a great thing. But we got to put barriers. What do you do as far as relationships that you do? I see people that males have really close relationship with other females, maybe in their office, maybe socially. Females, I hear so many stories about the same thing, about this, or things that are more dedicated to, or things that are more important. We got to put barriers up. We got to protect our marriages. We got to realize that second only God is number one in our life. Our spouse is number two. And we got to be devoted and dedicated to that. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Please, everyone, and those that may be listening to this, you've got to protect yourself. Satan is coming at you in every which way you can, and if somehow he can get you to believe that your spouse is taking you for granted, and your spouse doesn't love you, and your spouse is this and that, and that you need to be loved, and this other person is doing that, or this job, or this other thing that you desire and you want to be is making you more happy, and therefore you're giving up or you're moving on, you are being deceived. The marriage is to be held in honor, and we must work on it. And so the question comes tonight, are you insulated from the world? And we just hit on a couple topics here. But have you insulated? Are you putting barriers in your life? Are you putting those things that keep the sin, that keep the influence, that keep all of those things that are trying to come in? Are you preparing yourself in a way that you're insulated? You know, in a way, you're playing defense. You're building walls that protect you from all the things that are coming in. And I guarantee you, Satan is coming in at every angle looking for any way to come in to your life. Matthew 16:25-27. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what if it profit of a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and he will then repay every man according to his deeds. Satan is willing to give you the whole world. Or even if you were able to exchange it, what would you get? Losing your soul. Being not able to go home with our Father in heaven and live in eternity for Him. We don't want to put ourselves in that way. Satan is coming after us, and we got to make sure that we find ways to protect us and insulate us from all the deception that is out here. So, how do we do this? It's always a great thing. You know, we look at application. How do we do it? How did God set this up? How does God prepare us? How do we, at the elementary level, how do we insulate ourselves? You know, the armor of God in Ephesians, he sets this up for us here. I believe I don't have it on here, but I believe it's Ephesians 5, but Ephesians 5:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplates of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You want to be prepared, and you want to go out and do the rest of the things you guys have got prepared to do this year. Put on the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God here. And you look at this very first one here, his strength, put on the armor that you will be able to do what? What does the armor do? It allows you to stand firm against the schemes. I love that, the schemes. Satan has all kinds of schemes and ways he's trying to manipulate and come in. You know, he's known as the chief of all liars, right? He's a liar and always being deceptive here. Putting on this allows you to understand that. And so we'll be able to stand firm against those schemes. And also, it by the armor of God here lets us understand who we're fighting. Sometimes we misunderstand that. But ultimately, it's the world forces of darkness against the spiritual forces of wickedness that's trying to get our soul and get us to fall away. And then here he lays out the actual armor that we have. That we will be able to use. And I'm going to click on to what that looks like. And so we have the helmet, and it's actually Ephesians 6 instead of 5, but we have the helmets of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and the feet of peace. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. And so we can see here, God lays out and shows us what we can have to insulate ourselves, to protect ourselves, to allow ourselves to go in battle and to be able to fight the devil and all the things that are out there. God has provided the insulation. It's out there. You don't have to do anything other than open up the Word of God and begin to put on this insulation and follow His Word to tell you how to protect yourselves from all the elements that are out there. Remember, we're using this insulation to protect and not change our hearts and our minds and our soul from the world that is trying to come in. We're trying to keep the elements inside our heart, our mind, our soul, what God is teaching us, not to be influenced, not to be changed, not to be corrupted. Don't be deceived. That is trying to happen every day. And we have to protect ourselves. We must take advantage of all the insulation that God has provided for us. And there is someone here tonight that has struggled. And I guarantee you, life is difficult. You know, this past year has been one year with many struggles, not just normal struggles, but other struggles and struggles that compounded struggles that we didn't even know were struggles. And I guarantee you that 2021, we hope and pray that it's going to be different, but it will have its own challenges, I'm sure. If there are people here that have publicly struggled or had issues, we love you. We want to help you. The goal for this congregation and the goal for all of God's people is to help one another to get to heaven. And together, we can do that. We can hold each other's hands and we can pray and we can hope that, you know, we can get forgiveness of those sins. So if there's someone here who has struggled and needs that, we can do that. If there's someone here who has not become a Christian and wants to name Christ in their life, wants to put Him first and wants to become that faithful servant of His, you can come forward tonight and be baptized. If there is anyone who is subject to the invitation tonight, please come now as we stand and sing.